we all get along.
Yeah, they seem to get along. Prime Minister Mark Carney and President Trump yesterday in the Oval Office. However, today, Mr. Carney returns without any deals to remove tariffs of any kind. He's leaving a couple of his key ministers behind to keep talking and pressing Canada's case. But as you heard here live on 980 CJME, Trump telling reporters at the start of the meeting that Carney was going to walk away a happy man.
I think they're going to be very happy. We have a lot of things that we're working on that people don't talk about. They talk about, competitiveness. He's a very competitive person. They talk about things that we don't necessarily agree on. But I think they're going to walk away very happy.
Happy about what? In the end, Trump showed no signs of relenting on tariffs. And that was about it. Pretty heavy on the optics, light on specifics, as they would say. And joining me now is CJME Provincial News Director Sarah Mills. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
How do you think this is going to land politically? I don't know that optimism is enough. What's your take?
No, I mean, you've described it really well with the optics and whether he's actually come with specifics. I think what you can look at politically is there's relationship building there. The body language of both of them looked different than it did in May. It was more relaxed. There was laughter. You go back to May, you had the sort of finger pointing from J.D. Vance towards the Prime Minister in Canada. You had very specifically a goal that Mark Carney needed to do in May, which was to say the words Canada is not for sale. Juxtaposition that to yesterday, and you still had a mild dig about Canada and America, and you know what would be the easiest thing to do, that sort of approach from Trump, and Mark Carney going, oh, I don't think so, we're not going there. So yeah, I mean, the politicians going, whether it's Mo going to India or China, you want them coming back with something, and they never do. But what looks to be here is you've had this relationship building where perhaps it's more cordial around the table for the ministers left behind to talk about this. And also you have that key moment, Craig, where there was from Donald Trump, which if you're a conservative or Pierre Poilievre, you probably didn't want to hear this out of the president's mouth. But you've got Donald Trump saying Mark Carney's a good guy.
Yeah.
He won the election. He won it really fair and square. He's a good man. He's a good negotiator.
Yeah, it could have gone way worse. You know, I've been saying the last few days, you know, if he catches Trump in a good mood, and he seemed to be in a good mood, and we don't come away with any more harm, that might be the win. But that was a win maybe 6 months ago. This morning, the conclusion isn't so much the same. We still have nothing concrete or any level of progress. And this was a central part of the reason why he got the job as prime minister. He was supposed to be capable of results, right? But continually saying we're making progress, it's not enough yet, is it?
No, and it's not. And the funny thing was, if you read some of the political reporters in Ottawa, there was clearly a signaling from the prime minister's office. Even Brian Lilly told Evan Bray yesterday, there were signals that there was movement on aluminum and steel, that they would move something forward on that particular area. That was signaled from the prime minister. Their office or their key officials working together clearly had been signaled something from the White House that did not come to fruition yesterday. Now, perhaps it will in the coming days if we see something. But why do that if you didn't have anything concrete? Did they think they were walking out with something yesterday and they were disappointed? Because the other thing is, go back to May, it was Mark Carney on top of the Canadian embassy doing the statement and the taking questions from reporters. Yesterday was Trade Minister Dominic LeBlanc. So why? Was there something that the Prime Minister was rushing off to? Well, his agenda today is nothing but being in question period, where he's going to be facing all of the sort of questions you've just said. So, yeah, I think he politically does need a win. Sure, it makes things easier to be friendlier with Donald Trump and to have that relationship. But in this next, probably by the end of the year, there needs to be something. And I bet you it's dairy and the issues of the monopoly and the deals on that, what Canada has and what America argues it should have, for both Canadian consumers and better pricing. I wonder if behind the scenes that remains the sticking point, because that's always about politics for a Canadian politician.
CJME Provincial News Director Sarah Mills, I thank you for your take. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Greg.
Oh, it was looking so good early. The Blue Jays came out fighting and...
And a swing and a high drive to deep left center. He's hit it out! He's done it again! The booing only intensifies as Guerrero has given the Blue Jays an early lead.
All right, then we were all smiles. Guerrero soon flying through the air.
Guerrero's getting away! And he is in safely, and both runners advance.
And then they showed it in slow motion. He looked like Superman flying through the air. However, it all came apart. Thanks to Aaron Judge joining me now, Kevin Martell, my baseball expert, my go-to guy in the newsroom.
Who else but Judge, though? I mean, this is the postseason, right? So you make an error, you walk a batter, and then you get somebody on at the plate, like Aaron Judge. He'll make you pay for it. He did last night.
Yeah. So here we are. Another game tonight. 5 o'clock, though. A little earlier, right?
Yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah, because we have all teams are playing tonight. So games throughout the day.
Now, your Mariners, they won last night. They're up 2-1 on Detroit, right?
Yeah, they did. They were up 8-1, and then Detroit started to mount a bit of a comeback. They ended up winning 8-4. But, of course, no win seems to be easy.
Now, I know you know the Mariners are going to win that series. But do you know if the Jays are going to put it away tonight, do you think? They just give them the one?
It really is a toss-up. Here's the thing. If the Jays do lose tonight, I think they will win at home. It's been a tough place for the Yankees to play.
Yeah.
And so I think Toronto, if it does have to go back to that city, I think they'll take it.
Well, that would be Friday night. That would be quite the ratings bonanza. I was listening to Chris Cuthbert, who does NHL play-by-play yesterday on the Green Zone. Of course, he works for Sportsnet, and he was kind of hoping the Jays would win last night, because it's the competition for television ratings.
Right.
Is going to be a tough one, leaning towards baseball, I think. But yeah, NHL is back. Look who's winning. Yeah, they won 3-2 over the Blackhawks, the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. You think they are going to three-peat and have a dynasty this year?
Man, I can't remember the last time a team did that. Certainly, they will be
one
of the top
Islanders,
teams.
The early 80s.
Yeah, yeah. It had to go back that far, because I guess the Oilers didn't win three consecutive. But, it's
shot there. You took a shot at me right there, I noticed, as a Jets fan, yeah. But seriously, who do you think is going to wind up in the Stanley Cup this year?
You see, I would like to make a prediction, but I have no earthly clue. I mean, even last season, you go in and look at who won the President's Trophy, the Jets. They were a bubble team, at least at the start of the season, in terms of predictions. Would they make the playoffs? They ended up being the best team in the regular season. And so this year, I have no idea. It could be the Dallas Stars. If they finally get over the hump, do the Oilers get over the hump?
Oh, they're getting over the hump.
So that's your pick?
Oh, well, of course it is. I'm an Oiler fan. But I'm going to discuss this a little further with Jamie Nye. He's joining us to tee up the new season after 7. I think you'll be surprised. I'm going to wait for Jamie, who I think is going to be in the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And you're going to go, Morgan, what are you smoking? I know, but I feel pretty confident this one. So let's go to Ottawa, where we got the trucker convoy organizers, Tamara Leach and Chris Barber, discovering that for time served in Tamara's case, but the sentencing came out, and what did they get?
Yeah, it's a conditional sentence, 18-month conditional sentence. So, in other words, no jail time, but as per the sentence, they does come with conditions, their punishment, I guess you could call it, 1 year house arrest, 6 months curfew, 100 hours of community service is ultimately what the two will get. And as well, we're going to hear from Chris Barber in his own words later this morning. He'll be a guest on the Evan Bray Show just after the 8:30 news.
Sounds good. Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. It's 6:57.
You have to stop me, or I'll never stop. You have to stop me, or
Yeah, the NHL was back last night, opening night. A couple of games of note. I thought, well, the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers won. They beat the Hawks 3-2, and I was watching a bit of the LA game where they showed off their new crown, third jersey, silver helmets, silver striping, this modern crown logo. I like the way it looked. Kind of like it better than the purple ones, and they lost to the Avalanche. But joining me now is Green Zone host Jamie Nye, as we are going to take a look at some of the Canadian clubs and break down the upcoming season. Jamie, thank you so much for weighing in this morning. Nice to have you here.
Yeah, no problem, Greg.
This is a season that brings us the Olympic break, too, in February. Only a couple extra spots to fill, and you and I both know that a lot of people are curious if Connor Bedard, who chose to skip the Worlds after the season ended, watching Macklin Celebrini from San Jose accept and sit along Sidney Crosby, put himself in the mix. Could both make it, or is only one of those going to the Olympics?
Or neither. Who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. But the way Bedard was playing last night, he didn't score, but there was a couple of times, there was one play in particular where he dove back and separated a cross ice pass that probably would have been a goal. And that type of effort in game one of the regular season is, you know, what the brass will want to see from Connor Bedard, at least defensively, if he has a hope. Now, I don't think Bedard will be on the team. I think he has a long way to go. But as you mentioned, Macklin Celebrini looked pretty good playing with Sidney Crosby at the Worlds.
He certainly did. And there's so many great storylines this year. Let's go to Las Vegas, where the newest winger and the franchise's highest paid player is Mitch Marner, takes his first strides as a Golden Knight tonight against the Kings. Do you think he'll do well there in the Knights this year?
Oh, absolutely. Mitch Marner going to the Vegas Golden Knights and, you know, playing with Eichel and that whole team again. Kelly McCrimmon is not shy to make a big move. He made another big move this offseason, Greg, so I'd expect Vegas to do a lot of damage in the Western Conference.
They got a good goaltender, too. And then there's Marner's former squad, the Leafs. Have they made any significant moves?
Not really. I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs as they added a lot of like depth pieces. You know, Nick Waugh, those types of guys who comes in, Dakota Joshua from Vancouver. But they move a guy like Matthew Knies up the lineup, who I like this young guy, actually. So when I look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're trying to get grittier. They're trying to get heavier. They're trying to be that team that's a menace in the playoffs with a different structure. Change the DNA is what Brad Treliving and Craig Berube. They're trying. Not sure it's enough, but it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. I have Toronto in the playoffs, so it's more like, okay, we'll wait until April.
Oh, yeah.
Actually get to see what they look like.
I would put them in the playoffs, too, but they'll cave to the pressure. It always seems the pressure is too much for those Leafs. The defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, they're eyeing a three-peat. Not since the Islanders won four straight Stanley Cups to bring in the 80s there, as an NHL club pulled that off. Do you fear their early injuries may stop them from their dynasty?
It's not just early injuries, it's long-term early injuries. Like Barkov's done for the season, Matthew Tkachuk is out until probably near the Olympic break, and you wonder if can the rest of those guys fill some big holes. And, well, they won last night, but it wasn't convincing against the Chicago team, who's going to be at the bottom of the standings again this year, so that is going to be an interesting story to watch,
yeah.
Greg. I do believe the Florida Panthers, they're going to be in the playoff conversation, but it's just a matter of who can be back in that lineup.
I do, too. I feel they're going to I'll get to who I think is going to be in the Stanley Cup, and it kind of works around them a bit here. But as far as assessment of Canadian clubs, let's do this. If you can only pick one, what club does not make the playoffs? I point to Calgary. Unless their goaltending stands on their head all season, I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, Dustin Wolf. I got the Calgary Flames.
Okay, we're in agreement there.
Depth chart of Canadian teams, 7 is Calgary.
Now the Oilers, will they make it to the Cup again? The odds say no, because the past 5 teams to lose 2 Cup finals in a row failed to come back and win in year 3. But they didn't have the greatest hockey player in the world. So, yeah, they're going back. What do you say?
No.
You're breaking from your tradition of the last few years.
Yeah, I'm going to say not this year, but the next year after that, they'll be back with more cap space. So with McDavid's new deal and everything else kicking in, and you'll see a depth piece, a goaltender, those types of things. But it's going to be tough. I'm going to say no to the Oilers in the Stanley Cup final.
Well, then who do you have?
Colorado is the team I'm going to put in the Stanley Cup final with Makar and McKinnon. Those two, now like a Landeskog's for a full season after Rantanen leaves, I think that's going to be a big boost to the Colorado Avalanche. So I will have Colorado in the Stanley Cup final. And I think it's going to be Tampa. I think it's another Florida team that's going to rise again.
Jamie, sit down. I'm running really shy on time, so I'm just going to get straight to it here. I say yes, the Oil will be back. They will stop the Ottawa Senators from winning the Stanley Cup, Jamie. I would have said Florida, but yeah, that injury bug is bothering me. That's the only reason I'm picking Ottawa. If the Oilers are to miss the Cup, I blame Dallas.
Okay. Dallas, okay. I just like that you have Tkachuk back in the final against Edmonton Oilers.
Jamie, hey, it's fun to have you on the show, and I look forward. You got a lot of hockey to talk about this afternoon, too, on the Green Zone. I look forward to it with you and Locker.
Right on.
Standing well over 6 foot what? 2 for you?
No, 6'3" and a half.
6'3"? Oh, you're the Islander.
When
girl
I was
too.
In my prime, anyway. I probably shrunk a bit.
Evan Bray is here. Your Islanders, you don't see
in
them in the Stanley
tomorrow.
Cup.
In action tomorrow.
With we were just talking about who's going to win the Stanley Cup.
Why are you laughing when you say that?
Who do you think's going to win this year?
I know you won't like hearing this, but I think we shouldn't take our eyes off Dallas.
Yeah. Well, that's who I said, if the Oilers do not win their Stanley Cup, it's because of Dallas.
Dallas is, they're a formidable foe, and the Oilers, I know, have got back them past them now a couple of years, but we can't say.
It's been a strong rivalry over the years,
but,
those two.
Yeah, obviously, with the signing of Connor, always happy to see the Oilers as a strong team.
Okay, let's move to a lot of the headlines. Yesterday, I heard you, we had it live from the Oval Office, Mr. Carney there with the president. You were really annoyed by the press.
Well, in between their answers, it was like someone actually texted in and said, I feel like I'm laying in a stubble field with 1,000 geese right over top of my head. I said, that's a really good analogy. It was so annoying. There's got to be a better way to do it.
Well, but Trump just loves the adoring crowd in front of him, right?
I think so, yeah. And then he gets to select who asks the next question. But it's annoying to listen to.
I'm not surprised nothing came out of this. I told you in the days leading up to this.
I'm disappointed, Greg.
I know we all are.
Yeah.
But I knew, I just felt that this is just checking in. We're not going to get anything out of this.
I think it's a fail. And I think it's an even bigger fail if there is something bubbling in the background and they're not giving us some sort of an indication that we're making progress. But anyway, he's coming home. Mark Carney's coming home today empty-handed, although he's left Dominic LeBlanc back with his sleeves rolled up. So maybe there's some progress being made on the backroom table.
Okay. In other news, Trucker Convoy organizers, Tamara Leach, Chris Barber, received those 18-month conditional sentences. Now, are you happy with this sentence?
Well, I mean, I certainly think it was a good message sent by the judge in this case. She clearly said there's no room for politics in my courtroom. She basically chastised the Crown for asking for 7 and 8 years respectively. Many would argue that it still is a bit of a political sentence. At the end of the day, I've said this before, we prosecute, convict, and sentence people for mischief every day in this province. Usually the punishment is not as severe as what we're seeing here. Yeah. But, they weigh the circumstances. And so obviously this had probably a larger impact and effect than a typical baseline mischief would have. But nonetheless, I'm excited because we were able to connect with and have one of the two guilty parties in this. Chris Barber is joining us on our program. We've had him on the show before, and he's going to join us just after 8:30 this morning.
Okay, what else you got?
Well, we've got a busy show today. We are going to open lines. We're going to talk about, of course, all of the things that you and I have been chatting about, which will no doubt include the Jays. There's always going to be some Jays talk in there. We talk a lot about land prices in Saskatchewan and how high they are, which is great for farmers who are selling their farms to retire. Makes it tough, though, for people that are family farms that want to pass the farm down but still get some revenue out of it. I've got someone on the show talking a little bit about that. It's a busy day today on the show, Greg.
Evan Bray back at 8:30.